Brother Cassidy, good morning. Good to see each one out. Got a lovely number today. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with us to Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. This morning, we're going to be looking at what the birth of Christ means to the world or means to mankind. What the birth of Christ means to mankind. Micah 5, just one verse there. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. One more verse in Galatians chapter 4. Brother Roddy used that verse down at Current on Monday evening. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Not a moment early, not a moment late, at the very split second, as it were, God sent forth his son with one thing in mind, to redeem us, those that were under the law. That was all of us, under the curse. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. What the birth of Christ means to the world. How many people celebrate your birthday? I'll tell you, not many celebrate mine, because most of the time I even forget that I had a birthday. But you know, when a prince is born, normally there's a national celebration. When a poor person is born, there is normally little or no celebration. This morning we want to talk about one who was born the poorest of the poor. And yet his birth is still celebrated 2,000 years later by most of the world. You know, the birth of a person may affect a family, for good or for bad. The birth of a person might even affect a community, for good or for bad, or even a nation. But this morning, we could talk about one whose birth has affected not a family only, or a community, or a nation, but the world. And that one is Jesus Christ. At the very outset of the message, I want to ask, what does the birth of Christ mean to you, you, and me? I trust today that everyone who is with us gathered here today, it is meant that he has brought us salvation and that we have accepted him as Savior. If not, I trust you would today. You see, if you accept him today, you have the gift of salvation. But if you reject him today and go out of this life that way, it won't be salvation. It will be damnation. I trust that will not be your case. What the birth of Christ means to the world. This morning we're going to look at it. That prophecy was fulfilled. Then we're going to look at that an heir was born to Israel's throne. Then a joy was come to the world. And then a Savior was provided. Then we want, if you have time, to look at that Satan was defeated. And then that peace could enter our hearts because of his coming. And then a way was provided to heaven. I don't know if we'll finish, but we'll stop when it's time. First, it means prophecy was fulfilled. First, I want to look at that prophecy was fulfilled concerning his birth. We read the scripture. It was prophesied that he was to be born in Bethlehem. And thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the princes of Judah, yet out of thee he shall come forth. It's interesting to know that Bethlehem means, I'm sure most of us know that, the house of bread. But how it fitted the Lord Jesus. He's the one who said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. Eateth of me shall never hunger. I trust everyone here today is taken of that bread and know the joy that he alone can bring. Bethlehem, a small town, wasn't it? Not many people probably lived there. It didn't have much to offer to the world. That's the place where Jesus chose to be born. Not to receive honor from it, but the opposite, to bestow honor upon it. And today, because of his coming near the Bethlehem, millions have gone to that place to see his birthplace, which would never ever occur. He has truly bestowed honor upon it in that light. But how much more to know that the Savior was born there, who is Christ, the Lord. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and we're going to read there where the prophecy was fulfilled. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. Luke 2, verses 4 through 7. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there we see that prophecy was fulfilled exactly how God said in Bethlehem. You know, if he had been born somewhere else, we could not have really trusted God's word. But God's word can be trusted not 99.99, but 100%. Every jot, every tittle, meaning every punctuation mark, is perfect and will be fulfilled. Bethlehem, as I said, is a small town. A town where David was born humbly as a shepherd. It's a town where the Lord Jesus chose to be born humbly as well as the good shepherd who would give his life for the sheep. But prophecy was also fulfilled concerning the means of his birth, the way he would be born. Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And there it says, how it's going to be born. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. The prophet says, behold. And almost every time means to take note. Listen, a special birth's going to occur. And look at how it's going to happen. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. How could that be possible? A woman not knowing a man to conceive and have a son. With men, folk, friends, that is impossible.
But with God, all things are possible. Take note, a special child will be born. He shall be born of a virgin. I think that signifies his divine power. I think it also signifies his divine purity. He had power to do that, and he was to be born pure. Now, if you turn, you need not turn there. In Matthew, he says, and also in the place that we read, that he shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. You know what makes Christ's birth precious? It's not that he came as a good man. And let me say, it was no one good and perfect as he was. But that's not what makes his birth so precious. Not that he came as a wise teacher. And he was all of that. No man ever spake like him. Not that he came as a great sufferer. Now, he had to say this morning, there's no one ever suffered like my Savior. But what makes his birth precious to me this morning is that God came and dwelt among us. That's what makes it precious today. Emmanuel, God with us. God in our nature. God at peace with us. God in covenant with us. You know, he could never have called him Jesus a Savior if he had not been Emmanuel, God with us. But the prophet is saying, let that word comfort you today. Emmanuel, God with us. Let that word comfort us this morning that Emmanuel's land is our land. We see the means of his prophecy being fulfilled in Matthew 1 and 22. Now all this was done, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God with us. And here Matthew claims that the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in the birth of Christ. The truth proves by the sign that he is the Son of God and the mediator between God and man. Emmanuel, a mysterious name, isn't it? But very precious. God incarnate among us, and so God reconcilable to us and at peace with us. The Jewish people had God in symbols and shadows dwelling between the cherubim. Not so with us today. This morning we see God through the light of nature that he's above us. All we have to do is look around us, and we know there is a God above us. We look at him this morning through the light of the Lord, and we see that God is against us because the law condemns us. But this morning, beloved, we look at him through the light of the gospel, and we see that God is for us. What a Savior. God is for us in our own nature and in our own interest. We see that the place of his birth was fulfilled. The means of his birth was fulfilled. But in Genesis 22, we have another prophecy. Brother Maurice mentioned it last Sunday. And in thy seed, God's talking to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. When I was a younger Christian, I used to wonder, how could that be? Maybe the Jewish nation. But how could all the world be blessed? Blessed through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the seed of Abraham. Blessed this morning we are, angry, through his coming. Blessed through his going to the cross. Blessed by his giving us the Holy Spirit. blessed by all spiritual blessings in Christ this morning. Truly, all the nations of the earth have been blessed. And we see that prophecy fulfilled, which God spoke to Abraham that he would be born of his seed. In Matthew 1, we see the book. It opens by saying, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Matthew traces him all the way back to the Son of Abraham. Matthew chapter 1 gives us the genealogy of Jesus Christ and his ancestors according to the flesh. It is a narrative of his birth. The Old Testament begins with the book of the generations of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Old Testament begins. But the New Testament, I think, excels in this, that it doesn't begin with how God created the heaven and the earth. It begins with the genealogy of the one who created the worlds, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we want to look at it means and here was born to Israel's throne. God promised an heir to Israel's throne. In Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7, it says this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. His throne this morning, I want to say, is above every other throne. The government shall be upon his shoulder. It's only. He not only wear the badge on his shoulder, but he'll bear the burden of the government himself. Wonderful things have said about his government. Says it shall be multiplied. We don't have time to go into it. There shall be no end. It shall be a peaceful government, an everlasting kingdom. It matches his character, doesn't it? Even forever. And God will give Israel that throne. In Luke 1:32, we read he said that he shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In 2 Samuel 7:13, he says he shall build a house for my name and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. His own people would not give him the throne. But God Almighty one day will give him that throne. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And we shall reign with him. What a day that will be. It means that joy has come into the world. Thirdly, the angels rejoice that is coming. Luke 2 and 13 says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angels rejoice. As the angels made that announcement of Christ's birth, he was joined with a multitude of angels, and they lit up the sky. What a sight that must have been. They had never seen anything like that in hundreds of years, as the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Glory to God, they say, who, through his loving kindness, has given us his Son. We could say that this morning. The angels. Glory to God who has given us his Son. We didn't deserve it through his loving kindness. God sent his Son. We didn't deserve it. As angels, the angels give God the honor for the marvelous work of salvation how much more we today who have been saved by His precious blood. The shepherds rejoiced, didn't they? At His coming. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. What did they hear? They heard that message from the angel saying, unto you this day is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What more to make us rejoice today, beloved, that a Savior has been born to save us from our sin? The shepherds rejoiced of those things that they heard. But he says, and of those things that they seen, what did they see? Not just the baby in the manger, but they saw Christ, the Lord. Most of us here today can say by faith we've seen Him. Not in the manger, but on the cross, taking our place and taking our sin. And we've accepted Him and trusted Him. But perhaps if He wanted today, it was never done. Don't you see Him again? Leaving all what heaven had for you and coming and going to a cross and taking your sin. Oh, I trust that you would trust Him today and know that joy that the shepherds had and that we who have trusted Him know as well. But Simeon rejoiced, didn't he? Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon had need to rejoice. The Lord had promised him just before, said before he would die, he would see the Christ. And at the precise moment when Mary and Joseph were there, God allowed Simeon to come in and take and hold that baby in his arms. Simeon says, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go. I've seen the Christ. You know anyone who takes a sight at the Lord Jesus and trusts Him as His Savior? We can save a sinner that we're ready to go. There's no one can satisfy like Him. He is the only one who can bring true satisfaction. Jesus can satisfy the heart. Gladness and peace He can impart each passing day. All through life's way, Jesus can satisfy the heart. Simeon got more than he was promised. He was promised that he would see Him before he died. But Simeon was able to hold Him in his arms. You know, this morning, I think in a way we're even blessed more than Simeon, because we've been blessed that we could have Him in our heart today. Thank God for that. If Simeon could rejoice, how much more we today? A Savior is born. It means a Savior was provided. Fourthly, and he says, he came as a ransom. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man is not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give His life a ransom for men. The greatest service the Lord Jesus could ever render to the world was to give His life. And here in that verse, He interprets why He really came to give His life a ransom. It would mean death, but that death would lead to victory. The ransom would be paid. And we, the slaves of sin this morning, set free. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He came to bring a ransom. He came to save from sin. We'll be looking at that verse tonight, Lord willing. In Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. Paul says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you don't know him today, friends, I trust you wouldn't leave here today until you know him. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from the guilt of sin this morning. Saved from the dominion of sin if you know him as Christ, Christ the Savior. Saved from a wrath and curse. Saved this morning from all the misery. Yeah. We have something to praise him for today. And to thank him for today. He came as a ransom. He came to save from sin. He came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Christ's favorite name for himself. We never hear his disciples address him like that, but that was his favorite name. Because he could identify with mankind that way. He came from heaven to earth. That was a long journey to save you and me. Came to seek us, those who had wandered away, those of us who had gone astray. You know what? He's still seeking men and women today. Oh, I trust that you would heed to him. If you don't know him, and trust him. Fifthly, it means that Satan would be defeated. Christ was manifested to destroy Satan's work, wasn't he? 1 John 3:8 says this, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of Satan. You know, sin is a characteristic of Satan. Sin. We should never serve what the Lord Jesus come to, what Satan indulges in. The Lord Jesus came to destroy that. He came down from heaven to earth to suffer, to bleed, and to die, that he might destroy the works of Satan. But Christ, and this secondly, Christ by his death destroyed Satan's work. He not only came to do it, but he did it. And Hebrews 2:14 says that through death he might destroy him that has the power over death, that is the devil. That word destroy doesn't mean to annihilate. It means to make inoperative or ineffective. And through Christ's resurrection and death, he has accomplished that today. You know, the devil was the first sinner. He was the first tempted to sin. And sin was the cause of death. And that might be the means where Satan, where it says that Satan has the power over death. He could demand death because of sin. But thank God today, Jesus Christ came and destroyed the works of sin. Not only did he do that, but he removed Satan's armor. Luke 11:21 says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man, then he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. Christ proved he had more. Christ proved he had more power than Satan by casting out his demons. We see him proving he had more power over Satan. You take, for instance, the man of Gadara, who lived in a tomb, cutting himself naked, couldn't be chained. Christ came. Cast those demons out. Satan's power. Look at what Christ's power did. It says they came and they found this man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's what the power of the gospel can do. We've seen it with men and women. He can do it for you today if you never trust him. That is, that's your Savior. What a wonderful change is made at conversion. It means this morning that peace can enter our hearts. He came to bring it, didn't he? He came to bring it. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to one man. I'm talking about the peace that he alone can give in your heart today. Do you have that peace? Those of us who have it, we should say glory to God in the highest this morning with those angels. goodwill toward man. That peace we have this morning comes because of God's goodwill toward me and you. Oh, how we should thank Him today. Oh, how we should praise Him today for His goodwill toward us. But He made peace at Calvary. Brother Maurice was on this on Sunday evening. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Reconcile meaning to change completely. Sometimes seeing that chorus, what a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change. Floods of joy all my soul like a sea fills me since Jesus came into my heart. Has He ever entered your heart? Friends, if He's not, if one here today, I trust that you'll let Him enter today. Reconcile also means to restore to a right relationship. We were enemies of God, and He has made peace through the blood of His cross. Religion is man seeking God, and you see that all over the world. Men, in the name of religion, seeking God. Christianity is God seeking man and Savior. That's the difference today. Finally, He came to make a way to Him. Thank God He made that way. A way was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father, only by Me. Through Jesus Christ, God and man are brought together today. It was the only way. It's only through Christ and Christ alone. And so many people are trying another way. But it's no other way. Only through Christ. You know what? A way was made by God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The proof of God's love was He gave His only Son. His enemies could never have taken it, but He laid down His life for me and you. And let me say this, God sent His Son with a fair proposal. And you tell me if it's not fair, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish. That's a fair proposal. But have eternal life. Have you ever received it? A way was made by Christ's death. Galatians 1:4 says, as we close, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us. Christ voluntarily, vicariously, gave Himself in my place, in your place, that we might have a way to heaven today. Christ who knew no sin, made sin for me and you, that we might be made righteous. In other words, He changed places with me and you. Could you take that in today? God who knew no sin, changed places with me and you, took all of my sin, all of your sin, and give us all His righteousness. Could you grab that today, man? Thank God for a Savior. Let us pray. Father, indeed, we're grateful today for the gift of the Lord Jesus. Reminded of the words of the hymn writer who said, oh, what a gift the Father gave when He bestowed His Son to save poor, ruined, sinful man by sin and love. Oh, it was love. It was wondrous love. The love of God to me and to everyone here today. It brought my Savior from above to die and come. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming. And as in a few moments, we will come to remember not so much Your birth, but your death that made salvation possible. We trust that our hearts will be filled this morning with praise and worship and adoration for the one who gave himself for us. We thank you again and ask these things in your son's precious and adorable name. Amen. We thank you so much for your kind attention this morning, listening so well. Tonight, we expect to be looking at that wonderful name, that name called Jesus. Trust you'll invite a friend. Pray for them. Thank you so much, God.